This is a CBC podcast.
The signs are everywhere, not of fall, but of the provincial election.
If I'm given the privilege of forming government with this team, we will not raise your taxes. That's my no tax hike guarantee. I guarantee that we will not increase provincial income taxes, small business taxes, provincial sales tax, or corporate tax. No tax hikes, period. In fact, an NDP, a Saskatchewan NDP government, would lower costs. We'll suspend Scott Moe's 15 cents a litre gas tax for 6 months, something that we've seen done in Alberta and in Manitoba. And we will also freeze the small business tax that Scott Moe plans to double next July.
That's the leader of Saskatchewan's New Democratic Party, Carla Beck. She was in Saskatoon yesterday, launching what she's calling a campaign for change. The premier, Scott Moe, was at the government's third announcement to mark the progress of a parkade outside the hospital in Regina. For more on that and the rest of this week's political news, we've reached Murray Mandrick. He's a political columnist for the Regina Leader Post. Adam Hunter is hosting the afternoon edition again today, but he'll be back with us soon to talk politics. Hi, Murray.
If I'm allowed to do this chat, I promise not to do anything criminal.
Okay, set the bar nice and...
is that a high bar?
So what did Carla Beck and the NDP announce yesterday besides not hiking our taxes?
Well, honestly, nothing much that I'm impressed with, but I get why both her and the premier made his announcement that was a thinly veiled political announcement. Is they all are going to be in terms of government announcements from here on in, starting with Ms. Beck. The NDP have a problem. They have a perception problem that they are the big spending government that's going to solve the problems by raising taxes. Interestingly, the response from Premier Scott Moe immediately to Ms. Beck's "I will not raise taxes." Well, the last time you were in power, you raised it 20 plus times. Well, they raised it 20 plus time because the people that were running the government time, literally the fathers of some of your MLAs, actually wrote us into debt, and there was really kind of no choice but the following government to raise taxes. But people aren't happy about that. People aren't happy in certain areas remembering about hospital closures. These are issues that Carla Beck still has to do. Address. Yes, it's absolutely ludicrous to start out a campaign in some ways of basically saying, I'm not going to do something that everybody dislikes. Well, of course, you're running for office. That's probably not a pretty safe promise, but it's something she had to get out of the way. And she did actually talk about lowering the small business tax, which I suspect the SAS party would do anyway, because last election they actually postponed their tax increase anyway. And so that she actually didn't even talk about lowering that. She just talked about not proceeding with an anticipated hike that the SAS party says will happen with a small business tax. She said she'd implement the lift on the gas taxes temporarily, which they've already promised to do. So there's nothing here that's dramatic, like a PST cut or royalties or a big corporate tax cut that we saw from the SAS party when they first came into government in 2007. I think she and the NDP are going to have to do something greater, something far more eye-popping if they are going to attract more voters than we expect them to get. And I don't expect them to do well outside the cities. They'll do very well in the cities and might maybe put a bit of a scare in the SAS party, but until they can start to capture that middle class conservative vote in Saskatchewan, they don't have a hope in forming government. So thus, they're starting that. They're starting this with this business of we will not raise taxes. We are going to address those fears immediately as our first campaign things. It's a conservative thing, but it's the good news, it's a complete announcement. It's not just an 80% announcement.
Well, yeah. Let's talk about the parkade. Why is the premier bragging up the progress on that?
Well, it's a lovely parkade, I assume.
We'll have to pay to use it, right?
We'll have to pay to use it. It's because they have problems in two specific areas. One is healthcare, and there's not much that they can do in healthcare to turn the boat around at this particular point. They've tried everything in terms of attracting nurses and doctors and everything else, and we're still seeing the problems with ERs. We're still seeing problems attracting doctors to rural Saskatchewan. And he is a huge problem. He, the SAS party, he, Scott Moe, in the cities, specifically Regina, but certainly Saskatoon as well, in terms of the major cities, probably in Moose Jaw and PA. And they need to basically address some urban, local urban concerns. That's what killed them in the Regina coronation and Wallshaker's by-election last year. Mark Docherty said as much. And so this is about the best under the circumstances that we can do, which is basically a parquet announcement every quarter completion, which I assume we'll have one more unless he moves to tents or something. I don't know. It's 90% complete, 95. But it's silly too, you know. But once again, highly conservative, highly safe, something that they can talk about that isn't going to create a lot of controversies. And unfortunately for Scott Moe and the SAS party, they are accumulating way too many controversies for a party going into an election right now.
Yeah, let's talk about the conflict of interest commissioner who's looking into two government MLAs, one who's running again and one who isn't.
Yeah, we'll start with Gary Graywall because that's an intriguing one that's sort of playing out and probably – I'm suspecting a big reason why he's probably not seeking office again. It would be very difficult to win under the whole controversy of the government social services using facilities that he owns, hotels, motels that he owns for social service clients, and him charging basically the damage deposit fee automatically, whether there was a damage deposit or not. In essence, it's a significant way and was a significant way to move more money into the hotel owners' pockets from without actually charging extra rent. And that was the problem. It looked like it was gouging in terms of this, and it's created a whole series of controversy that didn't just spread to from Gary Graywall in that seat. It spread into Gene Mikowski and his bid to recapture Regina University, where he's running again. And I think things like this could potentially hurt Mr. Mikowski.
Because he's the minister responsible for social
services. Exactly, in this coming campaign. So that's a huge problem. Another big problem, obviously, that they have is the problem with the education minister, who is from North Battleford and is in a bit of a fight of for as much as I think anybody can be in a fight in rural Saskatchewan for his seat and having to deal with his previous business life, which was in the window sales business doing government contracts. Now, this is a huge problem for Jeremy Cockerell because it's going to be a tougher seat. Right now, I think the biggest problem is that all this is going to be played out during the campaign. So for him, for Mr. Cockerell in North Battleford and for the government, it is a very much an issue of timing. I don't think the other issue in terms of Mr. Graywall will be as politically impactful because Mr. Graywall isn't running. And by the way, I think they're going to – everyone's conceding that the NDP will retain that seat again anyway, which wouldn't be terribly surprising because that has been sort of traditional NDP territory. And as suggested earlier, the polls suggest that they're going to do very well in Regina as the opposition. But I think the government might have reason to worry maybe a little bit that this would afford the NDP in the Battlefords and maybe other places to develop a stronghold because I'm not 100% sure Mr. Cockerell is the most favored MLA in rural Saskatchewan. I think there's a lot of other ones that are probably in a lot better footing position to easily win the siege, which is probably why the SAS party government can win rather easily. The NDP didn't get 35% in any rural riding. The SAS party didn't have any less than a 35% margin of victory in any rural riding. So do the math.
So you talked to the speaker, Randy Weeks.
I did.
What did you learn from that conversation?
Well, it was fascinating because he's been, I wouldn't say coy, but careful in terms of his response to the premier, the accusations about the sour grapes, several other things that have come out since his May 16th end of session pronouncement, in which he basically outlined all the concerns about bullying, the emails, the texts, everything he was getting from, not just then government House Leader Jeremy Harrison, but from other MLAs and senior cabinet ministers. He outlined very much the concerns that we've been talking about for 3 months since, which is Mr. Harrison bringing guns into the legislature, which the premier immediately denied. And then, lo and behold, along came a government report from the Sergeant of Arms office basically saying, yep, we checked this out. And by the way, we chastised Mr. Harrison for doing it. It's totally true. And then they had to backtrack, and Mr. Harrison voluntarily resigned from his unpaid position as government House Leader, so not much of a sacrifice, still in cabinet. But it's a problem, and it's a problem for Scott Moe because it's one of the people in cabinet that and in caucus raising this concern. This isn't the NDP basically saying there's real problems in government where there's bullying, where they're in panic mode, where they make government policies and decisions based on almost the characteristics of the individuals involved. They get angry, they get upset, they get mad at somebody, and along comes Bill 70. So we now have a marshal service and changes in terms of alleged security that Mr. Weeks said is a direct result of the spat that Mr. Harrison was having with the security
at the time. Yeah.
And to me, that's a huge deal because that's not how to run government. Now, it's Mr. Harrison's word, and I think the premier and the SAS party will do what they have done to this point in relation – or Mr. Weeks' word versus Mr. Harrison's word. And I think the premier will keep saying, if not directly but indirectly, that this is sour grapes. And I suspect from a certain perspective, talking to Mr. Weeks and quite thoroughly in this conversation, he was very candid. He said, look, well, of course I wouldn't be saying this stuff if I was still running. That's not how the game gets played. If you say that stuff when you're running, guess what? You're not running. They kick you out. And he was very blunt about that and very blunt about their treatment of speakers and the high-handedness in terms of being able to speak freely. But he also talked about the reality of caucus solidarity, et cetera, et cetera. He's not part of that caucus anymore, so he's willing to speak freely. Yeah, I guess that's sour grapes, but when it comes to sour grapes, you get sour grapes because you didn't tend your crop very well. And I think that that's the big problem that's still reflected with with the premier and Mr. Harrison, et cetera. They've allowed this crop of sour grapes to develop. And I think we're going to see a lot more sour grapes.
Thank you, Murray.
You're very welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.